Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of CTCI is to see individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them. Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Life is Relationships podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining us today. And today, we actually have something that's a little different. We want to give everybody a heads up real quick. Next week, we're going to have a special episode where we talk about some things that are coming up. We have some change coming up with hosts and release dates and transition.
Change.
And stuff. And so it's all good. We're going to dive in deeper next week to talk about it all, but just want to give everybody a heads up. Be aware, change is coming, and it's something to be excited about.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, so, you got any change?
Unfortunately, I don't really carry cash, which is probably bad.
I don't want cash. I just want change.
Considering who I work for.
I just want real change. Oh, wait a second.
So I just don't carry a lot of cash. I just track it all.
Anyways,
I still don't do credit cards, but anyways.
Cut them up, baby. And some envelopes. Hey, you got it? I'm not asking for cash, just your envelopes.
Just my envelopes. Them envelopes is dusty.
They're I'll empty. Take them. I'll take dusty on them. It's just what's inside that matters.
Anyways. All right. And so as part of the upcoming changes that are happening with hosts and things like that, Seth Williams is going to be joining me, and he's going to be co-hosting today. We also have Alicia here today. And so, Seth, why don't you kick us off on what our topic is for today's episode?
I'm so glad you asked, AJ. As your co-host, the topic for today is the identity of believers is under attack with everything from their religious and cultural beliefs, their work, to their sexuality.
Right on. Sounds...
Boom. I mean, period. What? Let me redo that?
No, I think you're fine.
She's laughing. Oh my gosh. Am I going to make it through this?
Scripts are so confusing.
It's been a long day.
Yes, it has.
So it's all good.
I have the hardest time with scripts.
Okay.
I go into robot.
Yep.
It's probably because I don't read very well. My reading comprehension, I see the words, but they don't mean a lot in my head yet.
So don't read. Just explain.
Oh, you want me to talk about the topic identity. For today?
Just say, today we're going to talk about...
Our topic is identity.
Our topic today is identity, AJ. I'm so glad you asked. AJ.
Okay. This is going to be such a weird edit point.
Hey, AJ, when you're editing this later on, I just want you to know I love you. So as you're hearing this,
thanks.
Just visualize my bald head giving you a holy kiss.
Don't forget to get water. I know this is taking a long time.
Drink water right now,
AJ.
Stay
hydrated.
And forgive me when you're editing this. All right. AJ, I'm so glad you asked. The topic today is identity. Period.
You don't want to say anything else about identity?
No.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Babe, start talking. Oh, my God. So, help me out. Hey, right. Dig me out here.
All right.
Psalm 40.
So.
Psalm 40.
And this is all what changes about people. We are figuring out this co-host thing. We're figuring out what
get
this
ready
is
for some change.
Looking like. And so to expound just a little bit on what Seth is talking about regarding identity, we're acknowledging the fact that for the identity of believers today is under attack from everything that has to do with their religious and cultural beliefs, their work, and their sexuality. And so we're going to be diving into this today. And so I just want to tee you guys up and just ask, so what is the key in today's culture to knowing your identity here on earth as a believer?
That's a really small question. Babe, I'll let you start.
Yeah, I know. Well, I feel like it's not, it's not big and complicated. Really, the answer is anyone derives their identity from their father. And Ephesians 3, has that amazing verse where it says that every family or every father on earth gets his name, derives their identity from their father in heaven. And he's the source of our life. We were made in his image. Come on. And until we encounter him, we really don't know who we are. We can scramble and we can piece together our identities the way the world would tell us to, you know, that we're this type, that we come from this background, that we fall into this category. And sure, we can slap a bunch of labels on ourselves, but our true identity really is derived from the Father. So if you really want the answer to that big old question, you're going to have to dive in deep with the Father that created you, that formed you, that knows your inmost being, that, you know, fearfully and wonderfully made you. We don't have the luxury of being born into knowing. I don't think. I think we discover. We have it all uncovered and beautifully revealed through the discovery of who he is and who he's made us to be. And so that's the journey we're all on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a... it's a powerful message. I think that I think it's countercultural, and even saying these things, I think for someone that hasn't been in circles that talk about the Father heart of God, how good, how kind, our nation is broken in a lot of ways because of a lack of fathers. We don't even know how broken we are. But we can see it. And instead of just focusing on the negativity, I think what Alicia's saying and where we go and how we grow is knowing how good the heart of the Father is. And when I know that, I know who I am. We're talking about identity in this podcast. And I'm only growing with each day in identity. Have I arrived? No. And I won't until I graduate from this earth into the next, you know, to eternity. But all the while, I'm growing. I'm learning to be more and more like Jesus. It was a perfect example of someone who knew who they were and where they were going. And Alicia said it, we make this walk so complex. It's really not. And as I grow as a son, I realize that it's just, I want to be more like Jesus, and I want to see my Father. I want to hear him. I want to see him. I want to grow. And that makes me want to grow as a dad to my four kids. I want to be, you know, I want to give them the best reflection of the Father I can. I want to show them how, you know, we fathers keep the promises. Am I perfect? No. I want to show them how fathers love to be around them, hug them, mess with them, you know, poke them, tickle them, and give them, you know, and prepare them to be the best fathers and prepare them to love their wives and all that. And it comes from identity. Jesus said it. He broke it out. I mean, we talk about this a lot. It's what this ministry is about, you know, fatherhood and discipleship. But Jesus only did that which the Father said to do. And I want to be a son. It just makes my Father happy. It just puts a smile on his face, you know? And I think that's what identity is about to me.
Yeah. And I'll say that as ones who are running these, this ministry and overseeing some of these programs for discipleship, you know, that is what my heart aches for really is it's 101. It's Christianity 101. It's discipleship 101. I don't particularly want to tell people how to do anything in Christendom if they haven't first encountered the Lord and they haven't first begun to discover their true identity in him. Because when you begin to attach, well, if you're in ministry, you're going to do this, you know, whether it's this, you're going to know this kind of stuff, or you have to be equipped with this kind of knowledge or this kind of tool or this kind of training or this kind of personal development. No. You know, if I had to, I would just say, we're just going to stay in this place until each of us have had, you know, a face-to-face encounter with the Lord and he has illuminated, he has shed his light, he has spoken, we have heard his voice, he has told us who we are, you know, or at least begun the process of you know, just helping us to discover that identity. So that's where, that's 101, you know, I don't think you can't pass go, you can't collect $200 until you know, my identity is not actually what I'm going to do in ministry. My identity is not going to be in the work that I accomplish by my hands. My identity is not even going to be in my earthly family. Ultimately, it's in the Father.
And after you know the Father, you get to get $200. So there's some incentive. She just said, if I understood you, is that what you're...
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. So much more than $200. That's
sorry,
just
y'all. That wasn't
that's
funny.
Just
was that a dad game. Joke? Hey, that's fitting. It's a dad joke.
I was trying to figure out where the Monopoly reference came in.
She said, you didn't hear that. Do not collect $200. So do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Yes, okay, got
were you listening, AJ?
I was.
He looks like he's sleeping over there.
No.
AJ, are you falling asleep?
No. My brain was trying to connect a couple other dots, and I just missed them.
We lost.
Where's
them.
Our assistant?
We just
let's
lost
get
them.
Espresso over here. Hey, two over here. We don't have an assistant. That's a joke. All right. Sorry.
Back to identity. Yeah, I think. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Mm. You know, that's such an important piece for identity. The old is gone. What? I mean, how many of us actually live like the old is gone? You know, the new has come, the old is gone. So in Christ, we're a new creation, we're a new species, and his righteousness has now been transferred to us. And that's who we are in him. And when you find Christ, you don't join a club of people who are really working on their righteousness, trying to grow in it, trying to gain in it, trying to manage their sin. That's not what you enter when you enter into Christ. You actually enter into his righteousness as a new species. And from the get-go, his righteousness is yours. There's none of our righteousness in there, you know. I guess I've been pondering the difference between, you know, sanctification and holiness versus righteousness. We grow, you know, as he sanctifies us, you know, our will, our heart are conformed to his. That's the growing in holiness. But righteousness is ours from the beginning through Christ.
That's really good, babe. The next question, how can we love on those who've never known a healthy father? How do we serve a fatherless generation?
Mm. Well, you can't put you're not really supposed to put the mask on the person beside you before you put it on yourself. And I think
we all have to wear masks.
You know, in the airplane.
Oh, I thought you were talking about COVID. You got me.
You know, when we are walking around in our rightful identities, you know, that's when we carry... we carry his unconditional love everywhere we go. We shine that unconditional love. We are the Father walking around on two feet. You know, we are Jesus to the world. And so that's how we love. We love because he first loved us. But that's where it starts. He loves us. We are anchored in him. And that person walking around that is secure in the Father's love, that knows who they are in him, or even has begun, you know, we're not going to know fully immediately, but on that amazing journey of discovery of our own selves. I found this Bill Johnson quote the other day. It was really good. He says, if you knew who God made you to be, you'd never want to be anyone else. And
dang,
that's so good. Like that, wow. Like it's, God is not,
say that again. If you knew who God made you to be.
Yeah, if you knew who God made you to be, you'd never want to be anyone else. Like that person, C.S. Lewis, I think it's in The Weight of Glory. I read that as a young adult, and he kind of talks along those same lines. Like the glory of God on us, if we could really see who we're called to be, the glory that we carry as sons and daughters of God, like we would be blown away.
Sons of Adam, daughters of Eve.
Good book. Time to read it again. The Weight of Glory by C.S. Lewis. But that's how we love others who didn't know, who've never known, who've never been fathered well. We are fathered perfectly by a heavenly Father. So the quicker we run into that love with all the walls down, receiving, not being afraid to go to the hard places, not being afraid to let him deal, not being afraid to lay down what we thought, the quicker we're transformed, the quicker, you know, we're able and empowered to carry his unconditional love to those ones.
So good, babe.
And you're talking about identity there. And for each of you, has there ever been, have you had like kind of this epiphany moment of like, that was just the revelation of your identity in the Father, and how he created you to be?
I think for me, that's a, it's daily, man. I think it's, there's something he teaches, shows us, if we'll listen, if we have ears to hear, eyes to see, his creation speaking very loud. And we recently went to Tuskegee University and went to the George Washington Carver Museum. I was just struck by how George Washington Carver just saw the Lord in every bit of creation. And the man never married. He gave all his fortune to Tuskegee. He helped lives. He poured himself out. It was much, you know, like Jesus. He was a follower of Jesus. He lived a life of just wonderment. Like he was childlike all his life. And I think that he knew the Father. In creation, from a little peanut, he saw this amazing creator. And I think that it speaks loudly. All creation, you know, is just screaming out the praises. It's just every, you can see it in all sorts of ways, and it humbles me because I'm like, man, God, I see you in the personality of my son, my daughter. I see you. You know, there's something of God. Leisha mentioned it. I've just thought of lately how every human, it's such an attack on the enemy, abortion, all those things, because every human was made in the image of God. There's something about that person that we take for granted, that I take for granted often, familiarity, all those things, silly little squabbles, all that. But there's something, if we acknowledge, if we see it, we want to pull it out. We want to draw it out. That's really what we love to do in discipleship, is draw out the best things and weed out the ones that aren't any good, right? I want to weed out the junk, and I want to see that which is of life grow. And I think I see, and my identity grows daily as I look for the Father, as I expect him to speak to me in some way, that I know today he's going to speak to me, and I want to hear it. I want my heart to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've definitely had, I can look back over the course of my life, I was raised with a good earthly father. But like I said earlier, we're not born into this luxury of knowing exactly who we're created to be. It's a journey of discovery. So throughout my youth, I had encounters with the love of God where I felt his gaze. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. You know, maybe I felt like I saw his eyes I just felt his gaze. And I felt so known and so loved. Whenever I felt that, when I felt his gaze upon me, you know, and there are really significant milestones along my journey where I can recall, you know, that was a breakthrough moment. I came away from that time of encounter with the Lord, you know, it was in the backyard in the middle of the night. It was in my living room in the middle of the night. It was at camp beside the pond. It was in a time of worship, near High Point. It was a lot of moments, a lot of milestones, but in every one of them, I came away knowing I am so known. Oh my goodness, I am so known, and I am so perfectly loved. Mm. And it actually satisfied the longing for love, you know? And in some of those moments, I was already married, you know, and having in a good marriage. But there was a satisfaction that I experienced in the love of God in those moments that even marriage, even a good marriage, hadn't gone to that depth satisfying. And I knew then, like, wow, this is perfect love. I don't have to expect it from my spouse. I don't have to expect it from an earthly father, as great as he was. I have it. I'm so secure in the love that I've received from my heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And those things continue daily. Like Seth said, we'll never stop. We'll never stop delving deeper. We'll never stop climbing higher. It's an adventure we'll never be exhausted, too exhausted to continue into, and we'll never find the end of that trail deeper and higher into how much God is love.
I would love to ask a question. You know, one of the I want to say staple verses for this ministry is the last verse in the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6. And we quote it a lot, but you know, the Lord is, you know, restoring the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers. ... lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. How do we do that? How do we help restore hearts, you know, the father's hearts to children, children's hearts to the father, you know, in this generation of fatherlessness? I think there's a gaping hole. We know, we've all heard the stats of imprisonment. It is the vast majority, 3/4 or so are fatherless. There's that gap is huge. How do we, you know, what does that look like today? And AJ, I would love to hear your thoughts. What does that mean in our lives? How do we partner with the Lord in bringing restoration, seeing restoration, and helping out? I know that what we've talked about currently is receiving it. And now, how do we give it away? Practically speaking, not, you know.
Yeah. I think the way that we as believers today can begin to tackle that fatherlessness is to set aside whatever the differences are that we have with our neighbor, and we embrace love, because the greatest, Jesus stated, you know, and the greatest of these is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when we can set aside any difference in our political beliefs, potential theological differences, and we walk in love with our neighbor and show them the grace and love of the Father that we have been given freely, I mean, it's a pretty radical thing to give love freely when so many people today, even within the church, are incredibly stingy with our love, mm-hmm. and how we show that to those around us, because, well, that person doesn't believe the same thing I do, or this person votes that way, mm-hmm. or go down the list of any difference that is a major hot topic in the world today, and think about, would Jesus be sitting having a meal with this individual?
Come on.
And I think I think the answer would always be yes. Mm. Whether it has to do with somebody's sexual identity, whether it has to do with how they, whatever their religious background is that they choose to believe, or whether they choose to be an unbeliever. Jesus shared meals with every single one of them and showed them the love of the Father that was given freely. And I think when we as believers, we as a world can begin to embrace love above all else and show that and express that in its wholeness, even as whole as we possibly can, it will always be flawed because it will never be the same as the Father's love. Then bridges can be repaired. Mm. Relationships can be repaired. Restoration can be ushered into society today. where people are sitting there and they go, why are you so kind to me? They may not interpret it as love. They may interpret it as compassion, as kindness, whatever it is. Why are you so kind to me? We don't see eye to eye on anything. Wow. Why are you so kind to me?
Wow.
And when we say, you know what? Because my daddy loves me big time.
Come on.
And why would I ever show anyone anything different? And to get outside of the performance-based religious mindset, yes, we are undoubtedly called to a standard of living as believers. Jesus has called us to live differently. Mm. The way that we live and see the world is upside down to how the world sees it. Mm. And yet, we are in it. We are in this world, whether we want to or not. Our eternity, I believe, our personal eternity as believers, begins when we enter relationship with Jesus. Our eternity begins there. I don't think our eternity starts when we enter the gates of heaven. Mm-hmm. I think it starts mm-hmm. when we enter with Jesus, and that's the beginning mm-hmm. of our eternity. And why would we not want his kingdom come, his will be done here?
Yeah.
When we have the opportunity to be that representation of him to everybody that's we come right. in contact with.
That's right.
When we can be a good representation of the Father to every individual we come into contact with,
yep.
then people get a clear picture of who the Father is. They get the opportunity to come to a worship event or a Bible study, and when they get to encounter Holy Spirit, all we have to do is be the representative that brings them to the table.
Let him do the rest.
Because when their hearts become open and they are presented there in a situation where they have the opportunity, Holy Spirit shows up and does his thing.
Yeah, I was, as you're talking, AJ, I was reminded of Rosaria Butterfield. And I just looked it up again. I was reading a book by her. She wrote The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And it was an incredible book, by the way. But she writes of her conversion to Christ. In her memoir, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, she chronicles her journey, and it's very powerful. But she was, I believe, an atheist at the time. I can't remember the specifics, but she was invited. She wanted to interview this pastor and his wife, and she was a professor of English and women's studies or something. And she, this pastor just loved on her. I mean, she just right where she was at. He invited her to her table or to their table and kept inviting her back and showed kindness, showed the love of the Father. And I mean, I guess back in 1999, she came to Christ, and it was just, and she's written several books about it. She's written, I mean, about her life post and how to work and how to live and from her testimony and to love others. And she's really big on community, loving the community, and seeing the Lord work out of that place of hospitality and just the love of the Father, letting him do just what you said to do. It's just let him work through your acts of kindness. So if anyone wants to, you know, listening to this, it's worth a read to check that out. So
yeah. And I think just to touch on it, because I think that I personally have had conversations with people where they're like, their interpretation and how they believe that Jesus would love people is different than what I interpret and believe. And it's okay to have those differences. And it's possible, I'll just speak from my own experience. It's possible to love somebody and not see eye to eye with them. Just because you love somebody doesn't mean you necessarily put yourself continually around that individual. And that's okay too. But when you are in contact with that person, when you are with them, when you're around them, when you're loving them, because I know sometimes the biggest areas can be strained relationships from people within the church, sometimes it's, and I feel like actually believers need to do better about loving each other in general, because I feel like we just roast each other at the stake, like constantly, rather than showing that love and that grace and forgiveness. Whereas somebody that's an unbeliever, it's like they legitimately don't know. They don't understand the language in the world that we live in as believers. But if it is, say, it's a believer, there's a group of believers that I know that I used to spend a lot of time with that, and I'm not talking about this place, just for clarity.
Thanks for that.
But there was a group of people that I used to spend a lot of time with, and then I realized that the way that we see and read and interpret Scripture and apply that to society today, socioeconomic justices in the in justice culture in the world today, we just see that very differently, and we see that representation of love differently. And so I had to distance myself from that group. But just because I had to distance myself from that group doesn't mean that I don't love that group. Mm-hmm. I still love them. I still support them. I still interact with them. Sometimes loving doesn't look like trying to be right.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and I'm saying that in that they may think that they're completely right. I may think that I'm completely right. We won't know till we get to the other side. We won't know till we are with the Father. But showing love does not mean you're going to argue the point to disprove somebody's disbelief. I think there is this space whenever you can have that relational bandwidth with somebody to talk about where your theological differences may lie. But so long as you are speaking the truth in love, that's the important part. So I feel like I probably went on a little bit of a tangent there, but.
It's all good, brother. So good.
I think, yeah, a couple years back, I remember sharing stuff like, there's just this phrase in my spirit. It's always kind of there these days. And it was something to the effect of, you know, every person is worth getting to know, is a treasure worth, you know, mining or digging. But we have to recognize that the Lord did that for us.
Yeah.
That we were that hidden treasure. We didn't necessarily look. We were in the miry clay. We were in the mud. Mm-hmm. And Jesus saw a treasure. He saw a pearl. He picked us up. He cleaned us. He's given us his name, his robe, his nature. He's given us his identity. He's given us his righteousness. But knowing that everyone else, like, I think humility, I think it really encapsulates a lot of what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
You're right. It's not about being right. It's about knowing the distance God's love went to get you, and knowing he is ready and willing to do that for every single person that you encounter, whether it's that annoying person or that irritating person or that, you know, standoffish person. They're a treasure to be mined.
Yeah. When we can try and look at every individual that we come in contact with recognizing them, that they are created in his image exactly the same as we are.
Yep.
And they have the same identity in Christ that we have. It makes it that much easier to extend that love, no matter how offensive their previous actions have been towards you.
Yeah.
Orphans compete for love.
Yeah.
Sons and daughters, they stay in a place of knowing
their identity. They abide.
But they, you know, and I sometimes have a propensity towards competition. Doesn't mean all competition is bad. I'm not saying that. But I am saying when you think you have to make something happen, I've got to go it alone. I've got, you know, I'm competing for my Father's love. I need to perform for my Father in heaven's love. I mean, there's a difference. And I think what Alicia and what you stated is that he quiets us in his love. The word says he stills us. And he wants us to know that we're loved just because of who we are. Because he died, you know, he sent his son, he died for us, cleaned us, like Alicia said, and then he stills us. And he breaks off that orphan, those chains. He heals us, cleans us, delivers us. So,
yeah, when we
no longer slaves.
Yeah, when we can all. I love what you said there. When we can all stop competing for the love of the Father and abide in the love that he has given us, in the identity as sons and daughters of the King, then we can begin to show the love of the Father well.
Which looks better to the world than competing, because that's what they're doing.
Yeah. That turns them off.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, hey, thank you guys so much for coming on today's podcast. We appreciate you. We appreciate every time that you bring these thought-provoking topics of where we find our identity and how we can maintain that as we just continue to go day by day, sometimes discovering our identity with the Lord day by day. And thank you. This has been,
we appreciate you.
It's been a good one.
Love you, brother.
And thanks for having us. Of course. Yeah. And everyone, just a reminder, make sure to come next week for, we have some fun updates to talk about with
change. Can I do that? We're going to get, that a copyright issue?
I think you can sing whatever you want. And so, awesome. Well, hey, thank you again so much for coming on, and I look forward to seeing you all next week.
Thanks, AJ.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one, and we would love if you left us a review. For more information about CTCI and our upcoming programs, be sure to check out ctcilife.org. This podcast is a production of Christian Training Center International, and it is produced by AJ Selby and Seth Stradling.